The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party, April 1st at 7:30 p.m. SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles. Come hang out with the crew. All of the info at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Howdy-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 314. We're going to throw this one out to the LFA, which is our favorite way to cover midweek MMA. They are once again giving us a show on Friday leading into the UFC show, which is very, very exciting. This one coming your way from the Seneca Niagara Resort and Casino in Niagara Falls, New York, a place where I have been before. Not necessarily the greatest place to hang out, but definitely a fun place to watch fights, especially if you were there on a Friday night. So we're going to give you a five-fight breakdown of five of the main card fights that we like the best, including some real good UFC prospects. Of course, I should probably introduce myself first. If you did not know who this voice was you were hearing, first of all, where have you been for 313 episodes? And second of all, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. I host this here podcast as well as the Top Turtle MMA podcast. And I write for SGPN. So you can catch all my writing at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And I am joined once again to break down another fine regional card with Kurt Chase Patrick. Kurt, what did you think of this one when you were taking a preliminary look at it?
It's honestly pretty good, man. I really like the main event. I think, which we're going to talk about in a few, Rafael Do Nascimento. He goes by something a little bit different, though, right?
Like Militia? Rafael Militia?
Yeah, Militia or something like that. Pretty cool. He seems to be the goods. I think the Azenza Oduwale fight could be solid. Barbosa Santos is going to be a banger too. So I think this is a really good fight up and down. And we're not going to talk about him, but Gavin Teasdale is a name to watch. He is 0-1, but he's on the undercard. Was a really solid collegiate wrestler.
Oh, that is a solid one. Yeah, and if I'm remembering correctly, I think we broke down his first fight because he fought on, you just mentioned Asensa. He fought on Asensa's original fight card, like I want to say a while ago. And we were big on him, and then he had kind of a dud of a fight, but maybe this is his turnaround. So, hey, guys, keep an eye out for that value. And speaking of value, this fight card does not have odds yet. As you guys know, typically when we tape beginning of the week cards, or beginning of the week episodes, rather, sometimes they don't have odds. So we're going to give you probably approximate odds on these fights. I'm usually pretty good at giving you guys what I think are going to be the odds. So I'll continue doing that anyway. And you're going to get picks from both me and Kurt this week. So make sure you enjoy that. I guess we should get right into it. There's no reason to wait. We're going to talk about that aforementioned Rafael Barbosa versus Myron Santos fight. One that is going to be incredibly good. We'll start with Barbosa. This is his featherweight, by the way. Barbosa, Kokshina is his nickname, which means tiny thighs. He sometimes just goes by Rafael Kokshina. He's 25 years old. He's 14-4 in his pro career. He's 6 foot tall at featherweight, which is maybe why he has tiny thighs. He's got a 72-inch reach. He's going to have a 3-inch height advantage over Santos. 2-1 for LFA, but he has been out of the cage for almost 2 years at this point, year and a half plus. Santos, on the other hand, Alenda, which means the legend. He's 22 years old. 12-1 in his pro career. He's 5'9" with a 72-inch reach. That one loss did come in his only LFA fight, but it's worth mentioning it came to Ultimate Fighter and UFC veteran Dan Argueta, who just kind of out-wrestled him the whole time. So certainly no shame in that. But the 22-year-old who's 3 years younger than Barbosa, I'm going to say here from my amateur handicapping experience, I think Santos is going to come in here as a decent favorite. I'm going to say like -155. I'll give you a Barbosa at +140. And I will cede the first pick to my co-host today. Kurt, who you got in this one?
I'm going with Santos here. I actually really like this matchup in doing a little bit of tape study on them. Being like you said, Barbosa's coming off a 2-year layoff. I think he's got some subs on his record, but I feel like he tends to favor the striking a little bit more, and that seems to be Santos's world. I think he's a super dynamic, very young. No shame in losing Dan Argueta either. He's a stud. Give me Santos by finish here.
And I'm going to differ with you on this one. I actually like the dog money on Barbosa here, if it is in fact dog money. So if you're listening to this and you wind up going to your book and Barbosa's listed as a favorite of some sort, I wouldn't bet him as a favorite. But if he is coming in as a dog, I actually think there's a little bit of value here. He's got a nice little 1-2, and he keeps range really well with like push kicks up the middle. He is kind of slow, which bums me out and does make me think there is a chance that Santos just catches him here. But also, I will say Santos kind of looked like a fish out of water when he was getting wrestled. And Barbosa can wrestle a little bit, certainly not to the level of Dan Argueta. Dan Argueta is like, you know, he's a beast for his size and certainly does good work. So I don't think Barbosa is going to do that kind of work. But I do think that, like, it's at least worth playing if he's an underdog here, that you could probably get him to just take down Santos enough that he's going to get the win. So I'm going to officially go with Barbosa here, but I will say I'm not making this pick if he's not, if I'm not getting some plus money on the other side. And one of those places where you can get plus money is WynnBET. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and a ton of other states. Be on the look for WynnBET's Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET's Win Hour, marquee games of the week have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So there's so many ways to bet the big dance. Sign up today and receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head on over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offers subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, that's going to bring us to our second fight, which happens down at flyweight. We're going down two weight classes for this one. Cody Davis versus Joseph Camacho. Cody Davis, no nickname on this guy, but he's 28 years old, 6-1 in his pro career. He's very short. He's 5'3". With a 66.5-inch reach, so even for a flyweight, he's kind of on the shorter side. He's 2-1 in LFA so far. Joseph Camacho, nicknamed Say-Say. I don't have his age. It's actually not listed on Tapology. Couldn't find it anywhere. But he is 5-0 in his pro career. He's going to be 2 inches taller than Davis, 2-inch of reach advantage, and he's 1-0 so far in LFA. So if I'm going to handicap this one, I think Camacho probably comes in here as a slight favorite. I'm going to say like -135, so not by very much. And I'm going to go dog again here. I actually like Cody Davis. I think the thing about Cody Davis that I really like is being the shorter, like very small guy at flyweight, he's able to have both insane speed and keep that pace up. He's not like tiring his large body. He clearly doesn't have to cut a lot of weight. He throws like 2 or 3 lead hands right in a row on the jab. He gets a little frantic in exchanges, which I don't love, but like his chain wrestling, very good. And I just think, like he's fighting a guy in Camacho who I watched him stun his last opponent and he jumped guillotine. And I know if you're in our Discord, which by the way, you should all be in our Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We hate guys who jump the guillotine unnecessarily. And Camacho is a guy who I've seen do that a couple of times. So I'm going to fade him. I'm going to go Davis, hopefully as a slight dog here. How about you, Kurt? Let's turn it over to you.
I'm going to go Davis as well. I just think activity is going to be important here. If you look at Camacho's record, he's had a lot of bouts of inactivity. I like Davis's record wrestling. I think he's going to be able to chain it well, get takedowns when he needs. Like you said, he's fast on the feet. Yeah, give me Davis by a decision here.
Yeah, and one other thing I will tell before we move on is too, is you'll notice he's one of those guys who's like light on his feet and like clearly looks like he comes from like a karate or taekwondo background. He's very bouncy, but also like he's almost bouncy for the sake of being bouncy sometimes. Like you'll watch him bounce into range, but then have like bounced too close to his opponent to actually do any of the punches he was planning on throwing. or he'll like bounce out of range, but it'll be so far extra out of range that like now the leg kick he was planning on throwing at the end of that isn't there anymore. So like it's a lot of wasted movement. And when you're fighting a guy who's so fast like Cody Davis, I think that's a problem. But that being said, let's move on to the next one, which is lightweights. Adam Asenza versus Yemi Aduwole. Asenza, nickname is the Maverick. He's 35 years old, long professional career here, 16-7 as a pro. He is 5'8" with a 70-inch reach. That's going to put him at a 2-inch reach or a 4-inch reach disadvantage and a 2-inch height disadvantage. He lost his LFA debut, which was his last fight. So he's 0-1 officially in LFA. Oduwole, nicknames Yemster, 32 years old. He's 9-4 as a professional, 5'10" and 2 inches taller than Asenza. He's got 4 inches of reach. He's also 0-1 in LFA. When I was looking at this one, I think the odds again, you know, and I don't mean to keep just giving super close odds, but I kind of keep feeling like that's going to be the case here. I'm going to say Asenza at like negative 185 is probably the line here. I think there are enough people who are going to like Oduwole keep that number south of negative 200, but I think it's probably going to be trending right around there. So if that is in fact the case, Kurt, who you got in this one?
I got Asenza here. I think that Oduwole is going to come out, watch some of his fights. He seems to have pretty solid wrestling and grappling, where on the flip side, Asenza just seems like a really polished striker. He seems to stand favor like Muay Thai. He's good in the clinch. I'm going to go Asenza here. I think that he is going to do better work on the feet. I think he's going to try to keep distance, pop jab, maybe pop teeps, work the legs. Could get dicey if Oduwole does get his grappling game going, but I'm going to go with Asenza here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's the weird thing, too, is I actually found out Oduwole has fought some Muay Thai in the past, which it blows my mind because, like you said, his best traits are clearly his wrestling. Maybe it was him just trying to get experience in other arts or something like that. But he seems to, in his last couple of fights since he took his Muay Thai fights, he seems to, like, weirdly fight too upright, like he is a Muay Thai fighter, and that, like, nobody's going to shoot a takedown. And I think it's messing up his wrestling, too, which is not good. Also, fighting too upright against Adam Asenza, who is, I think spazzy is the right word, and I don't mean that, like, in a mean way, but, like, he is just, he gets after it. He's a lot of fun to watch. If you've never seen an Adam Asenza fight, he's probably going to be a career regional guy, which there's no shame in being a career regional guy, but he's probably going to be a career regional guy. But man, is he going to be one of the most exciting ones, because, you know, spinning attacks, jumping attacks, you know, wading in and throwing wild hooks. And ultimately, I do think he's just like a better striker. And I think when he does get in the clinch, he's going to be better than Oduwole too. But yeah, he's definitely going to have to avoid that wrestling if he does want to take home the win here. But I got a sense, I think he eventually catches Oduwole, especially with Oduwole standing a little tall. Now, speaking of standing tall, let's talk about one of our sponsors who stands tall each and every time for us, and that's Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy brings you this episode. They are heating up for our March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has all your favorite college basketball player props. Head on over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGP for an 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Still got two more fights to get you guys here, and they are ones with real UFC implications on this one. We're going to start at lightweight for the remaining two of here. We're going to talk first about Solomon Renfro. Solomon Renfro, a guy we've often talked about in here on this episode or on this show and in the Discord. He's nicknamed the Black Dragon, 26 years old, 10-3 as a pro, 5'9" with a 72.5-inch reach. That's going to give him an inch of height and 2.5 inches of reach over Glaucio Elizario. He's 0-1 in LFA. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series. And if you look at his three losses in his career, it's literally any time he stepped up and fought somebody who's UFC caliber. In fact, all three of the guys who beat him then went on to get signed by the UFC, and with quite a bit of success too. Mike Malott is the first guy who tagged him and bagged him. Then he lost in Contender Series to Johnny Parsons, who unfortunately had that weird brain issue that kept him out of the cage for a while, but he's seemingly coming towards his UFC debut soon. And Adam Fugit, who just recently turned away super prospect Kinoshita and got his first win in the UFC. So all guys who not only have gotten to the UFC, but had wild success. And I think a lot of people have had Renfro pegged as that guy who's like about to take that step forward. And every single time he does, just comes up a little short. So he's going to take a, or make a effort to take a step forward again against Glaucio Ilezario. Slava Mar is the nickname. He's 35 years old, so towards the end of his career. 10-7 as a pro. As I said, an inch shorter, 2.5 inches of less reach. 1-3 in LFA. But here's another guy who's like fought some dudes. Like 10-7 sounds like a terrible record, but listen to this. He's fought Natan Schultz from PFL fame. He's fought Ishmael Bonfim, who is now, you know, killing it in the UFC. He's fought Christian Aguilera, who is in the UFC. He's fought Aaron McKenzie, who is currently in the Ultimate Fighter house. So, like, this is a dude who's taken losses in his career, but he has taken some losses to some dudes. So, props to Ilezario. He's going to be fighting the much younger, 9 years younger, Solomon Renfro here. Who you got, Kurt?
I'm going to go Renfro. I think that he's probably getting Ilezario at a good time. Again, Ilezario has probably fought better competition. And like you said, Renfro has kind of stumbled when he's faced guys that are, you know, I guess you could say UFC caliber. I don't think at this point Ilezario is. I think he's been a little chinny in his last couple fights. I think Renfro actually gets a finish here. And, you know, maybe in the upcoming season gets another shot in the Contender Series. I thought he performed well when he did have that fight in the Contender Series.
Yeah, I agree with you. He does feel like one of those guys that even though he's like failed a couple of times at getting what's his, like you still feel like he's going to get it at some point in time. Like he's only 26 years old. He's hyper athletic. I don't think Ilezario is going to be the guy to turn him away. I will just say this. I think when we see the odds posted for this fight, Renfro is going to be a massive favorite, both because he's a name people have heard on Contender Series and because of the athletic gifts that he clearly possesses. I'm going to say -350 to -400 in there. It's going to be massive. And I'm going to say I'm going to probably stay away from that number. I probably don't even like it in parlays because, like you said, he's kind of faltered when he stepped up. I don't think Ilezario is the guy to beat him, but it's enough for me to be like, I don't want to bet him at -400 or I don't want to throw him in parlays that he could potentially ruin. The other reason why I really don't think Ilezario is going to be the one to turn him away, he just doesn't have like the pop in his hands. And if you look at the guys who've turned Renfro away, right? Like Fugit tagged him and finished him. Mike Malott tagged him and hit him with a submission. Like he's just kind of like one of those guys who like, if you can pop him, cool. And maybe you'll be able to follow up with something on that. But if you can't, I don't really see your path to victory here. And Ilezario, if you look back, you know, he's good defensively striking. He counters kind of nice, but nothing seems like it's big power here. So I kind of like Renfro, but just definitely not at the price we will probably see. All right. And that brings us to the main event, which is for the LFA bantamweight title. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the LFA's vacant bantamweight title, which would mean, hang on, let me put the intern on it, which would mean that it has been vacated for some reason that is eluding me at the current moment. The last bantamweight champ, people love when you look up things on air during a podcast. The last bantamweight was Muin Gafurov. Oh, that's right, Gafurov. Did Gafurov get signed by the UFC? Let me see. I do not appear to know why Muin Gafurov would not be. Yeah, I do not know why he would no longer be the champ. This is apparently for the vacant championship. I'll continue to leave the intern on wondering where Gafurov is and why he is no longer their bantamweight champion. But instead, we're going to get a bantamweight title fight between Rafael do Nascimento and Jarrell Hodge. So let's start with do Nascimento. His nickname is Militia, which I assumed meant militia. And then I looked up its Portuguese meaning, which means stubborn. And I'm like, oh, it must mean stubborn. And then I went back and watched one of his fights. And he's got a giant Metal Militia tattoo across his back. You remember that old, like, clothing brand, Metal Militia?
I do, yes.
Yeah. He's got their logo tattooed across his back, like some fighters have, like, their name tattooed across their back. You got to appreciate that dedication. So he's got an interesting back tattoo. He's 31 years old. He's 8-1 in his pro career. 5'7", 70-inch reach. That's going to be the same across the board with Jarrell Hodge. 2-0 in the LFA, which is how he is getting this title shot, including an absolutely huge win over Justin Wetzel in his last fight, where he just starched him with the finish. Jarrell Hodge, nicknamed Thundercat. Sadly, he does not have a giant Thundercat back tattoo, much like the Metal Militia back tattoo, but his nickname is still Thundercat. 33 years old, 9-3 as a pro. As I said, 5'7 with a 70-inch reach, much like Du Nascimento, making his LFA debut. I kind of got a weird stat to throw in here at you guys. He had a boxing match 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago at the time of the fight, not 3 weeks ago from taping this. I guess only 2 weeks ago from taping this. He lost that boxing match by knockout. And I don't know how I feel about a guy fighting a boxing match 3 weeks ago, getting knocked out and deciding, yes, LFA title shot 3 weeks from now. Seems like a weird move. With that being said, I'm going to say he comes in here negative 275 underdog, or plus 275 underdog, with Du Nascimento being the negative 300 favorite. Who you got in this one, Kurt?
I'm going to go Du Nascimento here. He looks like he is probably, if he wins this fight, you know, especially impressively winning the title, I got a feeling he's going to be getting a call from the UFC relatively soon. Jarrell Hodge has some decent striking. Obviously, you know, if he's taking professional boxing fights, he's definitely putting in the work to get his hands better. But Du Nascimento, as good as the ground game is, he's pretty damn well-rounded on the feet. He's got a lot of subs on his record, but you know, and it's crazy that his last fight was his first you know, finish with strikes, and boy was it a nasty one. But you know, I think he's going to be able to get the finish here within the distance on Hodge.
Yeah, it was crazy because I watched that fight with Wetzel and he knocked him out, and I was like, man, this dude is killer on the feet. And then yeah, I was reminded, like, he just hasn't finished a lot of guys on the feet. All of his wins for the most part are submissions. He's actually got a really good top game, which we saw against Marcus McGee. You know, like, he was obviously on the regional scene before that, so you can't see too much of it. And it's worth noting his only loss came from a DQ because he kicked a guy in the head when he was down. So, like, you know, even his loss is not really a loss. He's super dangerous in there. I think here's the thing about him, too. Like, he's got good leg kicks. He gets backed up a little bit more than I like. But, like, even if he gets taken down, which I don't think Jarrell Hodge is going to take him down, even when he gets taken down, he goes immediately to, like, a high guard or a butterfly guard. He's either trying to get back up or he's trying to, you know, ruin your posture and try something funky off the back. And I think, you know, like you said, Hodges likes the box, clearly likes the box, but at the same time, like, just recently was knocked out. That's a bad sign when you're going to fight a guy who hits like Du Nascimento. So I like Militia quite a bit here. You know, if it does wind up in the negative 300 range, I think we're probably talking about parlay fuel, but pretty much apart from that, probably staying away from just the straight money line. Although he should win. You could probably even make some money on him at negative 300 and not have to feel too bad about it. So that's going to do it for us. Let me run down those picks for you guys real quick, and we'll tell you what to wait for the rest of the week. We're both on Du Nascimento in the title fight main event. We're both on Solomon Renfro in the co-main event. We're both on Adam Asenza early on. We're both on Cody Davis. And the only fight that we differ on is the fight kicking off our show, the 145-pounders. I've got Rafael Kokshina, and he has got Myron Santos. Okay, and that's going to do it for this LFA card coming to you from beautiful Niagara Falls in the Seneca Resort and Casino. We hope you guys are tuning in Friday. If you are, make sure to come chat with us in the Discord, even on Fridays. It is popping with people who like to bet on LFA because, you know, you're a true degen if you're betting on regional MMA from a Native American casino in Niagara Falls. That's the only kind of person who would show up in a Discord to talk about that. So make sure you come join us for that. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at SGPNMMA. And I'm at Gumby Vreeland. He is at KCPKO. Also, read all of our stuff on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. That's where all of our writing goes up. You'll see our best picks for UFC San Antonio, which is the next time you guys will see us. We will be talking about UFC San Antonio's prelims this upcoming Wednesday. I gave you a little taste of it on the last show. Go back and listen to the last show if you haven't. We recap UFC 286. It's a good time. And our next good time, like I said, will be Wednesday. Make sure you tune in then. Until then, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Kurt Chase Patrick. And we will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.